Good day, friends. We're glad to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we bring a program of Bible truth once again to your family circle. You know, someone asked me the other day, they said, well, just what is the Church of Christ? Well, of course, people are aware of the fact when they look at the teaching of the Bible to find out what the Word actually implies, or the words imply when it says Church of Christ. Romans 16:16 is a good passage to go to, telling us, of course, that the churches of Christ salute you, which implies that congregations of the Lord's church are being involved. But if I were going to answer that question with the Bible in mind, I would simply say that what the Church of Christ has a desire to be is the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. You remember we've told you on past broadcasts in this series that Jesus made it very clear that I will build my church and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against us, as we have in Matthew 16:18. We also understand that when people obey the gospel of Christ, we believe that they're added by the Lord to the church. The Church of Christ is not a human denomination, but it is looked upon and believed by those who follow the Lord as truly his spiritual body. Now, we do want to say as we bring this broadcast to you that we believe the truth of God's word is the thing that will unfold to us not alone the church, but as well the plan for salvation, the worship, the government, and all those things that have to do with the Christian life. If you're more interested in what the Church of Christ is in the light of the Bible, well, I certainly feel free to contact us. We'll be glad to talk to you personally about this matter. Or if you have questions and want to correspond with us by mail, well, I certainly address a card or letter to either the congregation that brings you this broadcast or to the radio station that is bringing you this Church of Christ broadcast. The reason I took time out on the broadcast to mention that today is simply from the fact that people many times ask questions when we visit them in saying, well, really, what is the Church of Christ? And we prepared a number of folders throughout the years that depict what the Bible has to say about the church, and that's what we're trying to be in the 20th century. You understand we're human, we're subject to mistake, but when people admit this, they also bring up the subject that they need something that is divine to lead them out of the realms of darkness into the marvelous light. Today we're taking another look at the Bible, and we're simply going to refer to a race that I'd simply like to call the race of life. You know, Paul used this illustration when he pictured the Olympic Games of his time and how that all the runners would come to their so-called mark, and then they would press forward to the finish line to receive the olive wreath. Paul said they do it for a corruptible crown, and then the comparison made with the Christian life is that we do it for an incorruptible crown. Well, we believe this race of life is an important thing, realizing that we can never be eligible to be a participant in the race of life until we have taken the truth into our life and have qualified at that starting line. Jesus gave us a good example of this when he answered a question that had been asked by Thomas in the 14th chapter of John, when Thomas said, "How can we know the way?" And then Jesus, in the familiar words, and I'm sure ring clear to you today on the broadcast, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So when we picture Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, we simply say that his truth makes us eligible to get into the way, the race of life, and for life, and then go on toward life eternal. You see, when you think of Jesus, you can't limit his life to some 30 years here upon this earth. For even though the world attempted to overthrow him and Satan attempted to destroy him, yet we find upon the first day of the week, after his death upon the cross, he came forth to die no more. He ascended to the right hand of the Father and is now reigning as a King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're pressing forward to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I want to give you an example of some of those things that must be kept in our mind as we go along the race of life. And those of you that are interested in this, we'd like to have you turn to 2 Peter or to 1 Peter or 2 Peter, perhaps. It is 2 Peter instead of the 1 Peter. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, that's the reference we want, beginning with verse 5. We understand he's been talking about their escaping the corruption that's in the world through lust, and I'm going to make this correspond to an individual qualifying to actually enter into this so-called race of life. Well, naturally, when one qualifies, there are certain things that are to be met, and might we say the truth being obeyed from our heart, will make us free from sin, that in this case we might be a participant in this great race. We're aware of the fact when we look at the book of Acts that the Bible teaches that there are no less than five things that people do to enter into this race for life and the race of life. First of all, they must hear the Word of God, because we can't begin this race or can't even begin to qualify without understanding that belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is essential. Again, remember Jesus said in John 14:6 that He was the way, the truth, and the life. And then He said, "No man cometh to the Father but by Me." So we could not qualify to go on toward the home of the soul that's associated with the Father, and we could not even have the fellowship with God unless we had belief. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we understand individuals must hear the Word of God, because that's the means by which, well, they actually have faith. In Romans 10:17, you perhaps remember this outstanding passage, that Paul simply says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, we are told in Hebrews 11:6. And certainly we are required to repent of our sins. For Paul at Mars Hill, in the city of Athens, in the 17th chapter of Acts, in verse 30, just simply said, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." It is vital that we confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart as we qualify for this race. For Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father which is in heaven." We're also aware of the fact that one could not be eligible for baptism without making that confession of faith. Like the Ethiopian did in the chariot when he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder Me to be baptized?" Philip the evangelist said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God." Of course, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the man from Ethiopia, and he immersed him. He came out, and in our illustration today, he entered into the race of life. He went on his way rejoicing. Now, Peter is talking here in the first chapter of 2 Peter, in saying, first of all, in verse 4, that by these, the divine promises of God and the wonderful truth, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I know that when this life is over, if we've served Him faithfully, we're going to escape all the corruption that's in the world through lust. We're going to go to that heavenly home. We're going to have an opportunity to be in a place where there will be no lust, where there'll be no sin, where there'll be no darkness, no pain, no sorrow, no tears. But since Peter is talking about the Christian life, I'm led to believe that what he is alluding to here is their deliverance from the power of darkness, their translation into the kingdom of His dear Son, or in the light. Now they're at the starting gate, so to speak, the starting line to enter into this race. He says in verse 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And I selected this on the broadcast today because I was pretty sure that there would be many, many that would listen to this broadcast that would know of these Christian virtues. Now, each one of these things going from faith is a foundation, including virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. All these things are qualities that must actually be in our life if we're going to reach the ultimate. On one end, we find faith. On the other end is charity. And yet all the way through, we understand that both faith and love are associated with every aspect here. An individual who has faith in the Lord is then able to begin this race for life, and then he must truly stand for the truth. He must stand for the faith. In Jude's writing, you recall, when you've read the third verse of that outstanding epistle, you'll note that even though it has one chapter, in verse 3 he's telling us something that is dynamic. He wants these brethren to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This contending, or standing for the faith, I believe indicates that we will not compromise the truth. And this is virtue, in the sense that we are not compromising the truth of God's Word. We have something now for which to stand. But we can't stand still in the race of life. We must continue to press forward. So knowledge is vital, that we come to know more about God's Word. This is why it is needful and necessary that we read and study the Bible diligently every day, that we might come to know more. And then, of course, after knowledge is temperance or self-control. And I would like to think of us having control of the knowledge that we've gained from God's Word, that we might turn it into a wonderful and practical wisdom. Continue on with this temperance, this endurance, to the point where patience becomes a reality. And that's true endurance. Continue this race. You know, in the Olympic Games, there was only one individual who could win the race. But in the race that he's talking about in life for the Lord, everyone who finishes faithfully until death indeed can receive the crown of life. No doubt you've read that scripture in Revelation 2 and 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. As we go on, we find brotherly kindness, which indicates a proper attitude toward our brethren. The word charity implies that which is found in the lives of all people. But let's not forget the underscoring factor in this whole thing is godliness that's associated with one of these beautiful steps or strides toward eternal life. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they're going to make you that you'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will know how to make our way to the finish line and receive the crown eternal. Well, we just begin this thought on the broadcast today. We hope it's been a benefit to you. I'd like to have you read that first chapter of 2 Peter. And do keep in mind, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ that brought you this broadcast invite you to their services. Plan to be there today if you can. And keep in mind that we'll be back with you next time to discuss once again an interesting look at your Bible.